we're just rolling right along here as we kick off hour two, and I have someone very special waiting on the hotline. And he's very special to me because I had a chance to watch him play for my beloved team, the San Francisco 49ers. Please help me welcome Super Bowl champion Lee Woodall. He joins me right now. Good morning, my friend. It's a pleasure to have you.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. As good as you can get on all the circumstances and things that are going around in the world these days, as you know.
Yeah, man. How are you holding up during this pandemic?
Holding up pretty well. You know, I have contacts with certain people that tell us what we should be taking. And a lot of this is preventive maintenance and, you know, wearing the mask and paying attention to that, social distancing, mm-hmm. and doing the things that require of you. You know, I think, like I tell people, it's almost like playing Russian roulette. I tell them, you know, if you want to go out and not listen, just you know, it's you're playing Russian roulette. You don't know which bullet is live, so you have to be very careful in your choices that you make. And so far we've been okay and doing fine. We've had a couple of people that have experienced it, and we've told them what to do and how to do it from a couple of doctors that we know. Of course, you know, a lot of people are saying that there's things not working, but we did hear that D3 was a big thing to be taking right mm-hmm. now. It was amazing that the things and reports that we got back saying that D3 actually was working for some people. I couldn't believe it. So I tell my friends now to take D3 and make sure that it's in their system.
But as soon as this pandemic hit, it just seems like it turned the world, it really turned this country upside down.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Because, you know, I think, no names mentioned, I think certain people knew some things, but of course they don't let the U.S. know because they don't want them to go into panic mode or start doing things. But sometimes you just got to let people know so you can prepare as a nation and you don't have to suffer. And I think that it's been shown that, you know, keeping things inside and not doing it strategically and not going with your first instinct to make the things happen quickly, you know, it causes this big uproar and all this stuff that's going on now and all the stuff that we have to deal with and hurting the economy, hurting sports and hurting a lot of other people, the employees, your job, the way you live, the way you think. But, you know, sometimes change is good too. Change is good. I can't say that it's been all bad. I think a lot of family members are getting closer back. Family is becoming back to being important, and, you know, work is being the secondary. And I think that's a big change that a lot of probably children and families are enjoying, that, hey, my family is getting close to them. And, you know, and of course, people lost people, and we don't want to see anyone pass from this. We want to see everyone make it through. But, you know, there are going to be some casualties, and the way that it is, and, you know, it's just that way. And I hope that each person that has passed has served their purpose here while they had that chance.
There's a friend of mine who's also a sports talk host who lost his mom to the mm-hmm. coronavirus. And, you know, people tend to think that it's a hoax, and I've had people tell me that it's a hoax, and I'm telling them, no, it is not a hoax. I know a couple people that have lost someone very, very close to them due to this. And if there was ever a time to come together and take some measures and nip this in the bud, even with the spikes that are going on, as I'm here in North Carolina, now's the time to act. Right.
It is. And, you know, people think it's a hoax until it happens to them. And that's the part you don't want to get to. You don't want to think that something's a hoax until it happens to you. You know, and that's what the evidence is itself. It's like, you know, what I tell people is, when you look in the mirror, do you believe that's you? So why wouldn't you believe what you're seeing? you know, it's not a hoax. It's not a gimmick. It's not something, you know, I'm sure the nation wouldn't want to just put something in the air to ruin the economy, to do all these things. You know, people are used to functioning, wanting to function normal. So this has changed their lifestyle. But, it you know, I want people to also look at the, you know, the positives in this. And even though there is a lot of negative, we want to also pull out what we can to say what is, you know, taking life more seriously. You know, there's a lot of things going on. There's where a lot of changes that are happening. As you know, it's just, where can we find those positive things? And that's what we're looking for today. What are we finding that's positive and pulling away from?
And one of the big positives, it bears repeating: families growing closer, more family time, you know, just sitting around talking and just being around each other. As tough as these times are, that's a big positive, especially for me.
Yeah. And if I notice, we're in the U.S., we're known to chase so hard for the things in which we want. You know, we want a better lifestyle. We want to live a good lifestyle. We want to be able to feed our children. We want our kids to go to good schools. We want all these things. And so we get caught up in it. And sometimes we work so hard and put so much time in it that we actually lose the purpose of what family is all about, mm-hmm. and what friends are about, and what unity is all about, and what accomplishing a community is all about. We lose that. And I think with the things that have happened over the last couple months, it's really put a refocus back into the way things should be. And I hope that it's just not something that we have to continue to go through in order for this change to be permanent. You know, I think there needs to be some permanent changes that people start doing and start having.
Absolutely. Lee Woodall, Super Bowl champion, joining me here, kicking off hour two of Snowman of the Morning. You got to tell me about Lee Woodall Speaks. This is how I found you. When I saw Lee Woodall Speaks on Facebook, and I immediately liked the page, because, as I said, I remember you as a player. But then I saw this, and it really piqued my interest. So if you could, tell the fans about Lee Woodall Speaks.
Well, Lee Woodall Speaks is that I go out and I give motivational speeches, and I talk to a lot of kids. I talk to businesses. I have various people that I actually talk to. And I like to talk about the experience of not giving up. And I also like to talk about, you know, what I do and how I made it, how my downfalls actually helped me become a better person and help me understand that life isn't just about sports. There's more to life than sports. And I had to find that out the hard way, but I did find it out. But just knowing that I have a voice, and that letting that voice be able to speak and be able to be an influence and to serve my purpose. But also, there's many things that I do. I mean, there's things where I go and I have, you know, I'll do coaching and coaching where I'm just coaching you in business. I may coach you in, may coach a child into seeing something different, and may coach adults or married couples. I'm also a minister, so that goes along with that line. So I do a lot of things in the nonprofit, and plus being the NFL alumni president of the Philadelphia chapter, that allows me to be in the community and to be able to see things from a different angle and to be able to participate and see the young begin to want things and begin to see even adults who go through certain things that we participate in as a Philadelphia chapter. And we just begin to give to our community. But I'm also sit on the national board of directors for the NFL alumni. So that's another thing that I have an influence, being an influence on, and being able to have a voice. And, you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy talking. I'm probably the guy you see, he's quiet in the room, but when you ask him to speak, he's going to speak.
That's what my wife teases me about, but it's fun. It's really fun to have a big influence, you know. And I've had young people tell me that I have a big influence because I never gave up on my dream. If you could point to an event that knocked you down, but also forced you to, like, get back up and get back on the trail, what would that event or events be?
Well, you can look at many things in life. I remember going into the league. I was a rookie, and I came from a Division II school. And you know how it is. You're a rookie. You're coming from a Division II school. Your crowds are probably about 1,000 people at the most that you're used to playing in front of. And, you know, when I first got drafted in the sixth round, all of a sudden I had Notre Dame, Florida State, Penn State, everybody, North Carolina, everybody was in front of me getting drafted.
And
I felt like I was coming in behind the eight ball, but I said I had nothing to lose. I said, you know, if I can play this game, I'm just going to show the skills I have. So I showed those skills, and it turned around for the best, and I ended up starting my rookie year and carried my career on for 8 years in the NFL and won a Super Bowl and Pro Bowls. I enjoyed it, but it just shows that those things, if I would have been down on myself and looked at where I came from and looked at the fact that I didn't go to the combine and still got drafted, if I looked at those things and let them be a negative, I would have never went out there and gave it my all. But I didn't. I just gave it my all, and that was one of the obstacles. And then facing life after football, you know, that's one of the biggest stories. You face life after football. What does that look like? What is that? I mean, they didn't have as much stuff as we have now. Thank God that the NFL has changed that and has brought on different programs, and players have spoken up about different programs that they need in their life. Thank God this is now the change. But when we first came out, you know, the suffering was figure life out, figure it out, you know, and a lot of guys didn't have it figured out because you played this sport for so long and that's all you knew. And you thought your name could carry you, but your name could carry you. Your name could also get you in trouble, too. So you have to be very careful. So I had a little bit of downfall with that and went through a time in my life where all of a sudden I was just chasing dreams and chasing things of where I could be financially and stay financially. I was just chasing those things, and I couldn't believe that there was no help there. There was no, you know, people looked at you like you were the money pit, or looked at you like you just had it all. And you just, but the hidden side of you was just saying, you know, I'm suffering and I don't know my way out of a paper bag. Can someone help me get out this paper bag? But, you know, you, the pride, the different things and that you go through as a player and the changes, that was the biggest thing. Those changes, I didn't know how to adapt to them. But then I went through a hard time in my life, and that caused me to have to change and caused me to have to take a look at life differently. You know, wanting to have sports gyms, wanting to have car washes, restaurants, looking at all of this stuff. But, you know, and I tell players today, you know, don't look at that, because let me tell you something. Work there for a year and then see if you really want to do this as a business venture, if you want to really be in that. And most guys will say, I'm not working there for a year. Well, I wouldn't advise you to open that up, because you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know everything about it. So right. I went through some suffering through that and finding myself. And then when I found myself, once I found myself and found out, you know, deep down inside, hey, you got to slow it down. You got to not, the world isn't like this. The life is different. And so I had to figure it out. So that downfall caused me to revamp myself, re-put myself back together, along with God, of course. God was the center, and my father's a pastor. Been pastoring for over 50 years. So the thing is, God was the center that helped me ground myself and find myself. And I know some people may not believe as I believe, but that's what helped me. And I'm not asking people to follow the same thing I follow, but, you know, everyone has to have that thing that helps them get over the hump. And that was one of the things that helped me get over the hump. And for me to know that I could do this and I could get back up. And even though my name was Fame, my name also took on shame. But then my name took back the fame. But now it's just making sure that I stay there and making sure that I watch my steps and also that I'm smart about what I do. And those are the things now. And I'm looking at life and it's just changing so fast. And people are changing so fast that it's almost hard to keep up, as they say.
Yeah, it is almost hard to keep up. Super Bowl champion Lee Woodall joining me here to kick off hour two. And real quick, Take me through that Super Bowl experience down in Miami. When
you sure you want my experience? Let me tell you, a lot of people don't know this, but it's in this it's coming out in this written story that's being done on me, and it talks about that. It talks about the Super Bowl year, how, you know, I came in as a rookie. And I was used to playing, you know, 11 games or 10 games because we weren't making it to the playoffs in Division II. You know, it was something. I made it to the playoffs one year, but then that was it. But after that, my career was just, 10 games, that's what we're going to enjoy. Then I get to relax and enjoy when the season's over. So, you know, you have preseason, you got regular season, you got postseason. But as a rookie, you got to stay in the game because you got to learn it. And mm-hmm. I was with Deion Sanders, Ricky Jackson, you name it, Jerry Rice. I was with Steve Young and all those guys. I was with Hall of Famers, Richard Dent, God rest his soul. I was with those guys. And if you think about it, right, Kenny Norton, Gary Plummer, I'm with a bunch of Hall of Famers, veterans, and all this other stuff.
If you look
at the whole thing, right, I'm coming in as a rookie that hasn't played that many games, 10 games in his life. Now you're telling me, you got 4 games of preseason. Oh, you got 16 games of regular season. Oh, by the way, you got 4 more games for postseason. What? That's 20? What? Me? 24 games? Are you kidding me? No, really? Okay, I see. So by the time I get to the Super Bowl, everybody's looking at me and wondering, why am I so quiet? I'm just like, okay, there, you know, it's big hype, it's all this, and I'm just like, to me, I'm like, this is another game. This is the last game of the season. This is it. So I'm really calm about it, and I don't know what I was thinking or what was going through my head. I guess I was just so calm at the moment that happened, that it was like, when is this going to be over?
Right.
I'm like, right. I'm tired. This is more games than I've played before.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sitting there, and they're looking at me. It's like, Rudolph, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing. Well, you're not excited to be here? Yes. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm pretty glad when this game is over.
Right.
I can finally rest. I'm like, is this how long this is?
You could finally sleep for 2 weeks.
Exactly. So then, you know, when the game happened and the excitement was there, and after the Super Bowl and we're screaming and you're yelling and I'm happy and I'm like, whoo, how you feel? The people were like, oh, I'm going to Disney World or whatever. And I'm like, I'm going home. I'm
right.
resting. I'm going. My body is beat up.
How do you feel? I'm going to bed.
Exactly. So that was my experience. And then, you know, as the years went by, I knew how hard it was to get there. And that experience is something that you got to enjoy when you get it, because you don't know when you're going back, and you don't know if you have that second chance. And, you know, of course, when the 49ers lost the Super Bowl, you know, I purely felt the pain that they felt mm-hmm. when they lost, because it was so much that went into that and so much that went into the season and where they had come from and being down and all of a sudden now back up. It's just, the pain of that was so devastating. And I was like, you know, I didn't get to experience that of losing. I got to experience winning. But when they lost, I actually felt it, because I know what that felt like, because we made it to the playoffs several years after that and missed the Super Bowl by one game several years after that.
I remember those times. I've been a 49er faithful since 81, so I've been through the ups and downs, and like I said, I enjoyed watching you play and everyone that has come through the organization. That is Super Bowl champion Lee Woodall joining me here to kick off hour two of the program. And if you have a chance, go on to Facebook and look up Lee Woodall Speaks. There's some very, very positive messages that are there. All right. So check him out. I've had an absolute blast having a conversation with you, my friend, and I'd love to have you back.
Hey, I appreciate it. And anytime, you just let me know and we'll make it happen. And stay safe. Stay safe, and, you know, make sure you take that D3.
Yeah.
And make sure you get that in your system. We, you know, take what we can. We're not saying that it's something that is a miracle, but, you know, whatever we can do that can prevent something, hey, why not try it?
I appreciate it. You stay safe too, my friend. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Cole Johnson joins me again after this.